Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Hey, we are back in the building. This your girl, Lady Free. And when he's done.
Okay, I just felt like just putting some words to that music, you know, okay. But it's all good. Cool. I'm Pat. I'm your boy, back in the building, Pastor J.
Okay, y'all.
I gave myself a hand clap.
Hey, we...
Look, you got to encourage yourself.
Right, okay.
Sometimes you have to encourage yourself. Okay, all right.
I have to give him his moment, baby.
You know what? She,
if I don't,
she
give
is
it
really
to him,
giving me my moment. Yeah. I can't, because normally, babe, come here, she be my. I'm telling you, I got a knot on my knee because she keep.
So,
all right.
For those of you who are new to Shift Real Talk TV, we want to thank you for joining us today on Shift Real Talk Tuesdays. Okay, we come on every Tuesday
live.
9 o'clock, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time,
live,
so that we can give you what it is when it comes down to life, love, and relationships, and the truth behind it all. Okay.
Yes.
So, for those of you who joined us last week, we are doing part two of Love Talk.
Yes.
Question and answer time. Well,
let's go back and explain what we are doing, you know, so people.
And before we explain what we're doing, if you are new, make sure you subscribe, make sure you like and share, because trust me, you want to share the information, because we're trying to make sure everybody understands how to build a lasting relationship. We all want one.
Well, what we did, y'all, 2 weeks ago, it was awesome. We went out to Portland, Oregon, and we had a love ball, and there were questions that were asked. And because the conversation was deeply engaged, we didn't get an opportunity to finish all of the questions.
Right.
And we want to be fair by dealing with some of these questions.
Right. A lot of people were like, I didn't get my question answered.
I didn't get my question answered.
So we decided to dedicate these two last week and this week.
Yes.
To answering all of the questions from the Shift Love Ball in Portland, Oregon. Okay.
Yes.
So
thank you, God. We honor you. We bless your name, God. We just love you today. You are worthy of all praise.
Thank you, Lord.
You're worthy of everything, God. We're worthy of honor. You're worthy of your glory.
Thank you, Lord.
God, we just thank you right now, God. Use us tonight, God, as we desire to be different, but yet impactful, God. Mm. And we just give your name the praise. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
My dad keeps reminding me to pray before, and you know, because I get so excited.
We used to pray every time, but you know, this season we kind of just decided to jump right in and then pray at the end.
It's cool.
However, we have Mia on the line.
My sis, what's up?
Make sure, I mean, whenever she gets on the line, I already know that she's going to come with it.
Yeah, Mia going to come with it. My sis, you know, so there you go.
If you're on the line, make sure you put your name in the comments so that we can definitely give you the proper shout out. Now, as you remember.
Lady Free don't have her glasses today.
I don't have my glasses today, but
should I do the reading or what are we doing here?
We could share. I believe that I can still do what I do.
All right, we do.
We got our little bag, our little, you know, what's in your bag.
Shake it. I got a question, because, you know, I be dealing with these questions too, doing when I'm at work, man.
Right.
These guys. So I got a couple of questions when we.
Keisha and Scooter are on the line. Okay, so I'm going to let, last week you picked the first one. This week I want to pick the first one. Okay. All right. We don't have as many left as we had last week, but we're going to engage in some awesome conversation. Okay. Love talk. The first question we have, of course, they were all anonymous, so we have no names. Is it okay to have friends of the opposite sex or go hang out if your partner knows about them?
That is a great question. honest with you, I saw this actually on Kirk Franklin and his wife. They got a new series out, a love show, and they were doing an interview, and this actually was a question that they dealt with.
Right.
Is it okay for you to have a friend of the opposite sex?
Uh-huh.
And I forgot the lady's name. Oh, I forgot her name.
I don't remember either.
Oh, I forgot her name. But anyway, they were on her show, and she was saying how, man, my husband is going to find out about this, but hey, listen, I do it. She said, I still give advice to my ex boyfriends or whatever the case is.
No, she said her husband does know, but he probably didn't want her to share that.
I don't think she said he did. But anyway, we're not going to, you know, but the point was, when she said, now when the question was brought up, she immediately said, oh, no, I don't play that. My husband better not think about having, and I don't know about him or whatever. And then right after that, in the same conversation, she said she still talks to her exes, whatever they are.
Right.
I think.
Come on.
Point blank. No. Like, thank you, Scooter. I know that, Scooter. You shouldn't. First of all, any friend that I have.
Right.
That is an opposite sex. They can call and talk to my wife on the phone.
Mm-hmm. I've met many of them that
way. She's met many of them that way.
Right.
If you have a friend of the opposite sex, mm-hmm. and your wife or your husband does not know about them, that is an opportunity for the enemy to creep in.
And play the game.
And play the secret,
yeah,
game, because that's how it starts. Then you got secrets, and then you, because what you're doing is you're allowing secrets to start creeping in. Then you're allowing, now if your wife or your spouse or whatever the person you want to call, if you and them have an issue, then you use this friend to help deal with these issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, you allow stuff to creep in. I don't think that's a good idea.
Sometimes
thank
it's
you,
not
Keisha.
Intentional. Sometimes, like, if you have the opposite sex, opposites attract, you know. Sometimes it's not intentional. You may end up just sharing with that friend of the opposite sex some things going on in your marriage, and then it causes there to be some level of, you know, additional feeling involved. But this person said if your partner knows about them. For me, even if my partner knows about someone I'm friends with of the opposite sex, for me to hang out with that person alone, first of all, I'm not trying to give the impression that if someone sees me, whether they know me or not, that I'm with this guy. Because that's the impression that you give. If you are out with the guy and it's just the two of you and y'all having dinner or watching a movie or just hanging out, it appears that you guys are together. That's number one.
You have to shun the very appearance of evil.
That's what I was getting at.
You got to shun the very appearance of it.
Because you never know. Phones are popping out everywhere.
Social media, click, click. Oh, look who he out with. Oh, no. Social media. Oh, yeah.
Social media, and you with another woman. And then you know how the world does today. We will get our own scenarios popping. And next thing you know, you got trouble in paradise. Because you was out, and even if your spouse does know that person,
and here's the
it's
question.
Not safe.
And,
he, to do
and here's
that.
The question: why would you? What reason would you have to go out alone? I mean, what would be the purpose? I'm like, you want to have dinner with a friend?
Right?
No, no.
And normally, know if I heard Steve Harvey say this or not. I'm not sure who said it. But normally, if you are friends with someone of the opposite sex, some people say, well, I've been friends with this person for a long time. And usually, if you go back and do a little digging, you'll find that person probably did have feelings for you at some point, or they was friends and they was together, they're not together no more. Either way, I'm just saying for us, my husband, to go out with a woman that even if I know who she is, imagine if he and I are going through a problem and that's someone that he could talk to because they are friends. You never know what transpires when that kind of conversation comes up. And like he said, the devil will play with that. And he'll get his foot in there. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you wondering why you got eyes for my husband and we all friends. So anyway, Mia Williams says, I say yes to having friends of the opposite sex, but no to going out alone. I believe that should be a conversation before marriage. Okay, Mia, and that comment is greatly respected, because she said basically, okay, it's nothing wrong with having friends of the same, the opposite sex.
No, there's nothing wrong
just
with it.
Just not going out with them alone.
Yeah.
And I definitely respect
there's
that.
There's nothing wrong with having friends of the opposite, because I have friends of the opposite sex.
Right, he does.
And to be honest with you, they're not even friends. They're like family to me.
They like sisters, right?
They're like sisters. So
even though they're not blood.
Even though they're not
I've
blood.
I've met a lot, and as a matter of fact, it's so interesting that a lot of them call me for relationship advice, and that's how I met some of them. They needed to know. They wanted to hear a female's perspective, and they called me, and we've become good friends.
A lot of them don't even talk to me no more.
We've become good friends.
They don't even talk to me no more. They just left me out. You know, met her and just excluded me out of the relationship.
So some people, it's all according to what your motive is behind the friendships as well. Like sometimes, you could lie to everybody else, but you shouldn't lie to yourself. Some people know that there's something extra there, but just to make sure that spouse doesn't, or that boyfriend or girlfriend doesn't get the wiser. Yeah, they'll let you meet them, get to know them and everything. And knowing that there's a underlying gray line that they have crossed at one point, or probably doing it, at the time. So you have to look at the motive behind why that person has a friend, has male friends or female friends on the side. And then to me, that's a hard no for. Oh, I'm sorry. You just next.
Yeah,
it's a hard no for going out alone.
But here's the thing too, as well. Just say for instance, like you dealing with somebody who really just got over cheating. Would you trust that person to go out with a female friend? Let's just say a male. If he had a problem with cheating, would you allow him, or would you trust that he would be able to go out with somebody of the opposite sex when this is his issue?
I mean, in a real world, no. You would want to, but when infidelity happens and a whole bunch of other stuff happens, inside. So nah, not likely. All right. So that's that question. The question was, is it okay to have friends of the opposite sex? Yes. It's okay to have friends of the opposite sex, but this is the part, and go hang out if your partner knows them. Going hanging out, that's risque. If that's what you and your relationship is about, then just know that it's a possibility issues can come up.
If y'all are on the feed, just let us know if there's a little delay or something like that.
We have Mia on the line. We have Keisha and Scooter. Keisha said no, that was her that said no, straight up, 1,000%.
Got you.
Okay.
I just wanted to know if there wasn't a delay on the thing, like a delay on the screen.
It's not.
Okay, cool. All right. So this question is, I got to really make sure I understand this. If communication becomes too heated, when does someone decide to stop, or?
How does someone decide to stop?
When or how does someone decide to stop? Conversation before getting worse, and balancing feelings, emotions to ensure a partner does not experience you neglecting them or that you don't care.
Let me see that.
Oh.
You understood it?
I understand it.
Okay.
I understand that. Let me even say it again. If communication becomes too heated, when/how does someone decide to stop the conversation before getting worse, and balancing feelings, emotions/emotions to ensure a partner does not experience you neglecting them or that you don't care? When or how? First of all, when it gets heated, you got to automatically understand that emotions are high, because anything past the level of talking to somebody, if it gets past the level of talking to somebody, your emotions are involved. And it's never good to talk to anybody when emotions are involved, because which
when
you do.
When emotions are involved, no, listen, or when it gets too heated.
Let me finish. To the period.
To the period.
To the period. Yes, when emotions are involved, because what you do is what now you try to force feed your emotion. Now you really, your focus is to make sure that this person understands why you got to this point past conversation. So what it is now, you're not even listening. So it becomes difficult to talk when you get past conversation. Past the level of conversation. So when you at the level of conversation, communication becomes easy because you listen. Mm-hmm. But when it gets past that, it is not good to talk when it gets past the level of conversation. And it's always good to calm down, get your emotion intact. Now, in the midst of getting your emotions intact, it is not good to ignore your partner because silence is a deadly, weapon.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a deadly weapon because now you don't know what they're thinking. And what you're doing is you're driving the partner who don't know what's going on in your mind. You're driving them.
What they want to think about. Yeah. You're leading them
to.
Yeah,
exactly. You're leading them to a whole lot of level of emotions to come up inside of their head because they don't know what you're thinking.
Right.
So that is not good.
Not good.
So I always tell my wife, even when, because trust me, we go through our level of heat. A different level now.
The heat.
But we go through our level of heat. But we understand that, okay, when we get to that level of heat, let's not talk right now. And what we do is we don't ignore each other because we realize that this thing that got us heated is just the issue.
Right.
Let's put the issue to the side. Let's still be married. We're not going to stop the relationship going because we can't deal with the issue.
Right. Now, to piggyback on that, I had to really learn how to mature in my marriage. Marriage has matured us in a lot of ways because the stuff that we saying to you are things that we had to not perfect yet. But there are things that we had to put into practice ourselves because just like any other relationship, when things got heated, we handled it like that. It was heated. We were at each other's throats. We either shut down or we was going to make the other one talk. And the thing is, we had to put into practice every single time. Once we realized that we didn't come to hurt each other with our anger and our frustration, we wanted to make sure that we weren't just felt, but we were heard. Okay. So it just came to a point where I had to learn how to deal with him when he decided because I was the one that wanted to talk about it until we're done with it and be done. He was the one more likely that was willing to, that needed to stop talking right now because things get too heated and I don't want to say or do something that's going to hurt your feelings, something I can't take back. So,
and also we got a comment on it, but, and also too, know your boundaries,
right?
Know your boundaries. Right. That's why it's so important to set the boundaries, know your boundaries, because if you know that you're going to go past that boundary, then, cause I know if I go, that's why a lot of times I would stop the conversation because I knew, okay, if I get to this point, then I probably won't be able to stop. I know what I can take and I know what I can't take.
Right.
There's a level of, you know.
And over time, I learned that when you, every woman, if you really love your man and get to know him, you will know when he get to that point where it's like, okay, you know what? Let me back up just a little bit. So, cause right now, this is the minute go all kind of wrong. But we have a comment. Okay. But the thing about it is, how do it? You just decide to become more mature about it. You decide, okay, right now we can't talk about this, but at the same time, don't go around the house like a little kid pouting and angry because you have an issue that you need to deal with. Just know that it's going to get dealt with at some point. That's how you relate. That's the whole purpose of a relationship.
Tony Bird. All right.
So note before Tony, Anthony Thornton, there's a comment from Mia Williams. She says, when things get too heated, it's important to weigh what matters more. Let's stop right there. You have to weigh it. That means stop. Think about it.
Stop. All right. Hold up. Think about it. Yeah.
Being heard or the respect you have of your partner, if you keep going, someone will hit below the belt which will make it bigger than what it is or what it should be. So this person is asking, how do you stop, or when do you stop the conversation before it getting worse, and balancing the feelings and emotions to ensure your partner does not experience you neglecting them. That's that shutdown, or that they you don't care. The thing is, you just have to learn to be mature in your communication with your partner. Communication is key, but you have to grow up. At some point, we have to grow up and understand when only little kids throw temper tantrums when they can't get their way or when they have their certain feelings. Learn how to control the feelings that you have, knowing that you have them, acknowledge that you have them, but at the same time, like he said, don't try to thrust the feeling onto him or force feed him into feelings a certain way or feeling my wrath, because that's not health in a relationship. That's a fight in a relationship.
And knowing your boundaries truly is just knowing who you are. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people say, well, what are your boundaries? And it's like, you got to really understand who you are as a person.
Right.
You got to know who you are. And a lot of times we don't set the boundaries because we do things to please the other person.
Right.
So the boundaries are not set. But we have
sometimes to. We don't even know what the boundaries are.
No, sometimes we don't know what the boundaries are. Right. But again, you know when there's a lot of pressure being put on you. You would know how much you can take.
You know how much you can take.
You know how much you can take.
Right.
I don't care what you don't know, but I do know you know what you can't take. And you know if you get pushed so many times, you can't back a cat up into a corner and don't never expect them to scratch.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Tisha is on the line. Hello, Tisha. We miss you, darling. Okay, so Anthony Thornton asked, do you know your boundaries?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You got it I just answered it a little bit.
Right.
But I go back again. Okay. You always got, and then two, understanding that if you get to that point, there's still a way to deal with even being at that point. There is still a way to deal with being at that point.
There because is a way.
No matter what, we as Christians, we carry the characteristic that God has placed inside of us.
What is it?
And that's love.
Come on with the love.
And what love does, love changes the whole aspect of the situation.
Yeah.
It covers a multitude of sin.
Yes.
It covers when that person doesn't feel like you, because what you do, somebody told me something, I'm using an example. Somebody told me something, and he said, you know how you would stop somebody from shooting you? And I was like, if a guy pulled a gun at you and pointed it in your face, there's no way you can stop that. He said, yes, it is. I said, no, it's not. He said, I'm telling you. I said, tell me what you go. I'm thinking, man, maybe he quick draw, you know, pull out. He said, no, just tell him you love him. And I said,
Hopefully it'll work.
No, because he said most people that get to that point, they're at a level of rage where there is no love involved. And they're willing to do anything that does not require love. But if you extend that hand of love, that may pierce something that, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It may pierce something in their heart. It may pierce that evil that's in their heart. That's what love does. Love changes things.
Yes, it does. So basically, bottom line with that, just find a way to understand the boundaries. Understand, look at it differently. You have to see problems in your relationship differently.
Yeah.
You know, everything is not going to be easy. It's not. But that's why it's called relationship. You have to learn to relate. How do I deal with my husband when he's in this type of mood? Or how do I deal with my wife when she's going through this? Be attentive. Understand their love language. I'm going to say that again. Understand their love language. If you don't know what those are, check them out. Because if I'm talking Spanish and he's talking Chinese, is it Chinese? Yeah, Chinese.
Don't go me in one.
Don't do that. I'm sorry. Absolutely not. Pull the curtain. No. Okay. So
all right.
There is no way we'll be able to understand each other if he's trying to express himself in his language and I'm trying to express myself in my language, but we don't know each other's language. My husband's language is physical touch, so I make sure I touch him a lot.
You better stop, girl. You better stop.
Stop.
You better stop.
But my love language is quality time. So my thing is, when you spend time with me, let it be quality.
I'm sorry, y'all. Quantity. Them fingers do something to me.
Quality.
You better stop.
Let us have a word of prayer. Holy Spirit.
The table going to be moved.
Stop it. Okay, all right. So basically, I want to speak his love language. Mine is quality time. But if I keep trying to give him quality time, I'm only speaking my language, and he's not going to feel as loved. So the whole thing is be attentive. Understand each other's love language. Understand what it takes. I want to please my husband. I want to make sure that my husband and I have an understanding. I didn't say we agree all the time. We don't have to agree as long as I understand his perspective and where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
That's relationship.
So we had a comment, just a little comment, I guess.
What was it? I read
Anthony Thornton,
it.
He said,
what would you consider is quality time? Quality time for me is if my husband and I are at home and he put a little effort into turning on the red light. Like we said last week, we created in our bedroom something called Club Moores. It's our own little personal club. If I come home one day and he has that light going, he got a little candles lit, and it looked like he put quality into the time he wanna spend with me. Let's go even simpler. If we having a conversation and we just having pillow talk, cause we talk a lot, and he's on his phone constantly, and I'm talking to him and he hears me, but he's not attentive to me, that's not quality. That's time, but it's not quality. Putting a little effort into what you do when you spend time with me, that's quality for me.
Well, let me go a step further, because we can ride in the car together.
Mm-hmm.
That's spending time together.
Right.
But if we ride in the car and we're doing what each other desires.
Yes. Like I might be rubbing his neck.
And she say, my kids, and I'm doing something she want me to do.
Right.
And I'm doing something that she wants me to do, and she's doing something that I don't want her to do.
Right.
We're taking care of each other's needs emotionally while we're spending time together.
Right.
And that adds the quality to the time.
It adds the quality. It's not about quantity, but when we do kick it, let it be real. Okay, so I love me some Tisha. Tisha says, what if they don't believe in quality time? Love languages. Tisha, it doesn't matter if my husband don't believe in love language. I make a believer out of him because I pay attention enough to know what his language is. What is it that when I do certain things, what makes him feel more love? Once I read them love languages and I figure it out, then I speak his language.
And also, anybody that has a desire to be loved,
They have a language. That's right.
So you can say, I don't believe in love languages all you want to. But there is a desire or a need for some type of physical touch, some type of
quality time, gift-giving,
there is something that you like from your mate.
Yes, God.
That is a language.
So if your husband's love language, let's say your husband's love language is, let's say your wife's love language is gift giving, and you spend time with her, but for some reason, when you give her that little gift, it's like, oh my God, babe, thank you. And you light up and all that stuff. And you realize her love language is gift giving. Even if she don't believe in it, when you start doing it, then bring it to her attention. I notice every time I get you a little gift or something, it do something to you. What's that about? I don't know. You know what? I believe that's your love language. Bing.
Anybody that says they don't believe in love languages, got to be a person that just want to be left alone.
Or they just don't know about it.
I'm saying if they really don't believe in it. That's just straight. Like, leave me alone. Look, they're the biggest grouch. No, you don't want to be left alone. I promise you that.
Out of island. All right. So, and I want to say this too, just in case, Charisse Thornton, if anybody knows where she is, Charisse Thornton, if you are listening, we have a alert here that says, please let the world know that I love my wife, from Anthony Thornton. So if Charisse Thornton is listening, just know that came from Anthony Thornton. All right, next question. I pulled it out. How do you protect your partner from you? Example, when you're in a bad spot, how do you keep from causing harm? Whoa.
That's a good, I like that question.
That's a real question.
I like that question. But this is why it is so important. And I had this conversation today. That's actually my love language, quality time. Come on now. Come on, Tisha. But I was having this conversation today. And a lot of us, when we leave the maker of the institution out of the institution that he has created, then what we do is we run into things where we call selfish things like me, myself, and I.
Yeah.
We run into that, me, myself, and I. And it is not me, myself, and I when it comes to a partnership or a relationship.
Right.
It's me, it's God, me, then
us.
God,
so me, us. And we.
So it becomes an us.
Yes.
So the thing is, you have to be connected to God to understand, even in those situations, he will make sure that you are balanced enough to be whatever you need to be for the person that he has placed in your life. Mm-hmm. Because again, remember, when it, I can only speak for a man, and my wife will come and speak for the ladies. But when it comes to a man, God has given us this gift,
okay,
this present,
yes,
this gift.
We are a gift.
Could you imagine trying to protect yourself from the gift that he has given you?
Mm-hmm.
You don't protect yourself from a present. You receive the present,
yes,
and you nourish it and you take care of the
cultivate
present.
It, grow that
and
tiny.
You cultivate it and you grow it.
God, hallelujah.
You grow that present that was given to you.
Add life to it.
Yes, because everything, remember this, and the present that he's given you, it is a cultivating machine.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you place inside of the present, it's going to come back to you.
5, 10, 100-fold, baby. Whichever one you give, you get back. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Shall men give into your bosom?
Shall men give into your bosom?
All right, so listen. This is my take on it. If you know that you are a volatile person, and you know that at some point when you and your partner, your spouse, your girl, your man get to a point of heat, that you need to, that person need to be protected from you, that's a situation you got to deal with within yourself. Because that's something, I don't know if people understand, like some people have dysfunctional norms. It's like maybe there was a time in your life growing up where you saw that this was something that was going on, and somewhere in your mind, you picked that up and you learned how to cope in volatile situations. And you learned a learned behavior that when things get heated, fight. When things get too, when things go too far left, you get them before they get you. Whatever the situation is, this is going to come to a point of you saying, I need to tear that mentality down. I got to tear that down so that I don't hurt the person that I say I love.
And also, let me say this. Let's get deeper here. Let's even go deeper.
Okay, go deeper.
The point is, you cannot protect yourself from the partner, because your partner is you. Now, remember this.
You talking about marriage.
Yes, we're talking about marriage.
All right.
The woman that God has given you is you. But the point is, if you feel like you need to, protect them from you, you really need to protect yourself from you.
Hmm.
Because if you hurt them, you hurt you.
That's right.
You don't hurt them. You may do a little, you may have to do a little damage control, but you really hurt yourself.
Right.
Because remember this. God gave Adam, he put Adam to sleep, and he took from himself and made woman and gave himself back to, because one man is the man that came from the womb of the man.
The man that came from the man with a womb.
Yes, with a womb. Woman. So in other words, he created himself from himself and gave himself back to himself.
Back to himself. Come on now.
So in other words, you can't help to hurt the person that God is, that because that's you.
And if you know that that's your situation and your norm is violence, then that's just, it can be corrected. But you have to make a conscious effort because it's a lot of stuff like that going on in this world. And people act like they can't help themselves. But God has given us the power. That is, if you got them, because I always say, God said he created man from the dust of the ground, okay? And then he breathed life into him, and man became, from the life that was breathed in him, a living soul.
And I also agree.
Hold on, baby. Let me finish that statement to the period.
Okay.
That means that that person has the breath of God in him. That's usually when you receive Christ into your life. That's the breath. Man became a living soul. Now, if that man is not a man of God, ain't no breath of life in him. He's not a living soul. So let's take that part out. And God created man from the dust of the ground, and all he is dirt. You can't expect dirt to do anything but just be dirty.
Read me his comment.
So if you with somebody and they don't have that love of God in them, then their norm could be violence. And you have to watch out for that too. Because if that person is trying to say, what do I need to do to protect me from that? What do I need to do to protect me from him? Then that's something you have to do. Ask God to heal within you.
And I also
so that you can have healthy relationships.
Come on. I also say, let's just be real here. I say, talk to somebody.
You have to.
Talk to somebody.
You have to deal with it.
Talk to somebody. But talk to somebody reputable that's going to really hold you accountable. Somebody that kind of been through what you. Don't talk to somebody who's going to say, knock her brains out, or but talk to somebody that can really help you. You know what I'm saying? Preferably a pastor that can help guide you, or just somebody just talk, get it out. Because a lot of times, what we're dealing with is certain things that we're holding inside,
right?
And we can't let it out. And then what we do is we let it out, and that's our form of release,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Go play some baseball or something, hit a bat, or go to the gym, work it out.
There is a way. But usually that comes with someone helping you out.
That's true. Here's a comment. Read Mia's comment. Mia, and what's your comment?
Okay, I do apologize. Okay, Mia Williams says, when I'm having a mood swing and she recognizes that she has them, we all do at times, I just tell my spouse, it's not that you have done anything. I just need a minute and I don't want to offend you. That's communication, y'all. She said he is understanding and vice versa. Then when the moment has passed, we talk about what brought us to that moment. We minister to each other and
minister. Come on now.
Okay, we minister to each other.
She once, need her glasses.
Yeah, once the moment passes. I'm sorry, y'all. Yes, I do. I left
she
my glasses.
She need her glasses.
But she won't. But that's
widen
good.
The words. So she's looking at little ants on her phone.
That's real good. And Anthony Bird says, Anthony Thornton says, sometimes words are more powerful than violence. A punch or any kind of physical being words cut like a knife.
Yeah, that's true. Listen, I like this question, y'all. Let's move on to the next question. All right. I like this question
Let's
here.
Let's get it.
This question says, how do you fight for your marriage when you feel like it's over? How do you continue to be the best husband to your wife?
Do you want to fight for your marriage?
I love that question. And it is such a, this is such a timely question for such a time as this.
All right, talk about it.
First of all, you really got to understand the purpose of marriage.
Yes.
And you were not designed to fight for it. You would, because God said he'll fight all of your battles.
Yes.
So a lot of times what we do is we take on the weight that God says, I didn't place that inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't place a fight for your marriage inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
I placed purpose inside of you.
Yes.
so that you can do what I've called you to do.
Right.
So what happens is our focus gets turned off. Our focus gets turned away from the design, the original design,
for marriage. Come on.
Because God has given you a helper to fulfill your purpose.
Yes.
And what we do is we don't want the help, but not understanding that the help is the Holy Spirit. So God has put the Holy Spirit inside of your wife to help you fulfill the purpose.
Come on.
And what we do is we fight the help.
We fight the help.
We continually fight the help. We give the help nothing to do.
My God. Come on.
We give the help nothing to do. So as a husband, what we have to do, first of all, is understand your purpose.
Right.
Understand why you were even placed on this earth. Because every man, God, and remember, from the beginning, everything that was created from the beginning was a picture or a depiction on what was to come.
Right. Come on.
So when he gave Adam the responsibility to tend to the garden, he gave him purpose.
Hmm.
So the thing was, and then God said, it's that man
that does not
need to be alone.
He don't need to be alone.
He don't need to be alone because he has something to do from God.
Yes.
So what we have to do is stay focused on the purpose.
Come on.
On the purpose giver.
Yes, God. Come on.
On the purpose giver.
It's order, baby.
So, and once we stay focused on the purpose giver, then he's going to give you not only purpose for your life, but purpose for
something
your wife.
For me to do.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on
see,
here.
We get into these marriages
Hallelujah.
Without understanding
Thank
purpose.
Thank you, Jesus.
So because anything that doesn't have purpose feels stagnant. It feels stale. Then there's all kind of other stuff that can come in causing confusion and friction and everything. How do you save your marriage? Understand the purpose that marriage was created for.
Y'all don't fight for the marriage. You fight with.
With each other against
come
the
on,
devil.
Show them the posture.
Come on.
Show them the
That's
posture.
Right. So I can see everything.
That's
trying to come
the posture.
This way to get us,
That's how we
and
fight.
He can see everything coming that way.
That's
trying
how
to
we
get
fight.
Us.
We protect each other.
But if he leaves me, then
come
I
on.
Keep trying to. I work
Thank
harder
you, Jesus.
Just to protect myself. I'm uncovered, and so is he.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you something. The best, most powerful marriages, Satan knows that those are the ones he got to come after and really, really devour that thing, because he know that if they ever get it together and understand the purpose of marriage, and if they ever really, truly find the power of Christ within that and the purpose God gave them, and they put that thing to action, they are gonna put a dent in his head. He don't like that. So he gonna fight against those. So if your marriage is being fought against and you want to know, wait, should I? Yes. You should, because if you're getting fought against, it's for a reason.
That's right.
The devil not going to fight
Come
you because
you
don't have no purpose.
Come
you
on.
You have greater purpose.
You got greater
and because
purpose.
Because of that, he add any little thing. He
Hallelujah.
Add insults
Thank
and injury.
You, Jesus.
He calls y'all to
Glory
separate.
To God.
And when
Thank
y'all
you.
Separate,
Hallelujah.
Next thing you know, she thinking her way, you thinking your way. Tell me that's not division.
Division.
Look at that. That's division. She go her way, you go your way. And he said, whoo, thank you, God. Because if they ever figured it out, whoo, I was going
to
be
the,
in trouble.
The whole purpose of the division is to, because when it said the there is together, when there is strength in one, in unity, unity meaning one.
One vision.
One vision.
His vision.
Yes. What? Come on.
But
free.
Thy vision
but
is
the,
your
thy vision.
And, what, and my vision.
Come on.
And guess what? Both of us going to fall.
So now
we
fighting for
face.
The marriage, like Mia said, and then we went, end up fighting each other or fighting for, that's, come on,
How
y'all.
How do you continue to be the best husband to your wife? Just be and stop trying to prove.
The best way to be the best husband to your wife is to get direction from God. That
and
is
stop
the
trying
best way.
To prove that you've changed, or stop trying to prove and just be who God called you to be. You are a man. He said, let them rule. You have authority. Authority don't mean dictatorship over your wife. It just means show her that you know that you have what it takes
and,
to just be the man God called you to be.
And check this out and understand this, y'all. We were studying the blood covenant.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I thank God for, you know, understanding the blood covenant. And understand, when you get into agreement with a woman or a man, what you do is you come into a covenant with God.
When you get married, yes.
When you get married, you come into covenant.
Covenant.
And in the covenant, and especially in the Old Testament, There was a, when you broke covenant, the penalty for breaking covenant was death.
Death.
The penalty for breaking covenant was death.
Shed blood.
And the only person that could allow the covenant to be broken was God. Is only. God.
Because he understands the
because
penalty.
He understands how sacred and how important the covenant was.
And he don't because, like death. Because, he's life.
Because the what came from keeping the covenant was blessings.
Blessings.
From keeping the covenant.
Or
and this
blood
was an agreement between you and God.
Yes.
So again, you got to understand, because a lot of us get into this marriage thing and we think that, oh, when you get on my nerves, goodbye.
Or
when
you,
when you say what I don't like, oh God, I'm done. No, God, that what you're doing is you're breaking covenant.
Breaking.
Thank
it.
God that he sent his son.
Yes.
To die for us.
Yes.
That we don't have to be go through the penalty
the
of
penalty
death
has been paid.
For the broken covenant.
Right.
But the point is, now that we are in covenant, we got to carry the characteristic that God requires us to carry in the midst
covenant.
Of the covenant.
And what is that,
and
baby?
That's love.
That's love.
I'm that's sorry, y'all. Love. I'm sorry. I just had to take a little moment there.
He
I just
said,
had to take
okay,
a moment.
And let me tell you, my husband blew my mind, y'all, when he said every year the children of Israel had to go to a certain place, which it took a minute to get there, probably 2 days, and they had to sacrifice a lamb for all their sins for that year. And imagine every year having to go and sacrifice this lamb, this unblemished, perfect lamb. So one day God says to, was it Abraham?
Yeah.
Basically, it was like this. I am going to give you my lamb. I could not, it blew my mind because I've always heard the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God. But I never turned it around as to say, wow, God says, I'm going to give you my personal lamb. And that lamb is going to have to shed its blood for you so that you don't have to pay the penalty of your sin anymore. So now we can have a relationship.
That's right.
And once you learn how to have a relationship with me, then you can learn how to have a relationship with them. That's the cross. When you learn to have a relationship with me, then you can learn how to have a relationship with everybody else around you. You can't learn how to have a relationship, not a healthy one, without first learning how to have a relationship with him, baby. And that's what it's all about. That's what people not trying to tell y'all, because they don't want you to know. Because if you know, then you're going to grow. And if you grow, baby, you're going to outdo everybody.
Yes.
When it comes to healthy.
We got
long-lasting relationships. That's what I'm talking about.
We got time for one more. We got time for one more.
I get to read it.
Yeah, you get to read it, because that's this is so funny, because that segues into what this question is, what we're talking about.
Right. How do you talk about the hard things? I.e., when half of y'all don't want to deal with true issues. I know this is a woman's handwriting. How do you talk about hard things when half of y'all don't want to deal with true issues, the true issues?
The thing is, no, I'm going to come from a male's perspective, because I had to learn this lesson.
Hmm.
The hard things that I had to learn to talk about were the very things that I felt was ugly.
Inadequate.
And,
yeah.
And I felt like they made me look a certain, they made me look weak.
There you go.
They made me
talk
look
about
weak.
It, baby.
So I didn't want to talk about it. I really kind of like hid from those things, because I didn't want to seem like I wasn't the man that I was portraying to be.
Yeah.
But the first thing to be able to talk about the hard thing is you got to be honest with yourself.
That's the first thing.
You got to be honest with yourself and say, look, you know, this is who I am. And I really had to understand that understanding who you are and really loving yourself. When you love yourself, then you could really get to the point where no matter what somebody says about you,
right,
they will accept the person that you love. Because if I don't love the person that I'm trying to give you, how do I expect you to love the person when I don't even love that person?
And come on.
Yes. I cannot expect her to love me when I don't love myself. And I'm trying to give her this person that I don't love.
And half the time
that's unfair.
That we don't even know. How can I expect him to love me when I've never even got to a chance to get to know the me I want him to love? I didn't present to him the right person. I presented to him the representative, the person that I wanted him to see, the one that was unflawed, the one that was a queen, the one that was big, the bad, the power, the queen, you know, all of that. It's like, but when you really get honest with yourself, then you will understand too that the people that you're drawn to, that are drawn to you, when they're honest with you about who you are, then you know they're not there to hurt you. They only there to be honest with you so that you can grow and be better.
And those type of people, here's it, because we're going to go somewhere here. Those type of people, I was talking to a young man today, and the Lord gave me an opportunity to minister to him, because these people, when you really don't love yourself, then what you do now is you expect somebody to love the person that you don't know how to love. So we put ourselves in situations with other people who we really don't want to be with.
Yeah.
But what we do is now we move in, we shack up.
Yeah.
And only because we're trying to fill this void of the person that I don't love.
Right.
So because, again, we get ourselves in positions to now to help me deal with what I need to deal with. Help me love this person. Help me do that. And so we put a whole lot of pressure on this person that we get with, and because of the fact that we don't even deal with this person. So to be able to talk about those hard issues, you got to be able to deal with them, first of all.
You have to deal with them in yourself first.
You have to deal with them. Right. You got to deal with them and come to grips with it. Like, look. And to be honest with you, that's really how God wants us, to come just as I am, without one plea.
He's the only one that can accept you exactly how you are.
He accepts you. And if God can accept you, the one that created you, then why are you not happy with the person that you're trying to to now turn around and try to be something else? Be who you are.
And the hard things that you have to talk about will not hurt you, because you know. If you get to know who you are, first of all, if you don't know who you are, and be honest, a lot of us don't, then ask the man that created you. Ask the man with the master plan. Mm-hmm. Who am I? And trust me, he'll begin to reveal to you what's in your heart, because that's who you are. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So basically what happens is God will show you who you are. And then when someone comes that cares about you and that your spouse or the person that you're in a relationship with, and they tell you something and they want to talk about hard issues, then it won't hurt you so bad, because you've already come to grips with those things yourself and you know you're working on them. So then you would have to take what they're saying to you at that point as God must be using them to tell me this.
I heard,
so I can fix it.
I heard Bishop Del Bronner say, and I'm not going to take credit for this because Bishop Del Bronner's a beast, but I heard him say this, but this is so true. He said, it's way more important to work on your character than it is to work on your reputation.
Mm.
And the point is, a lot of us so busy trying to work on our reputation because we want to be this important person.
Right.
But the reputation only represents what people say about you.
Right.
Your character represents who you are.
What your life says about you.
So it don't matter what people think about you. It matters who you are.
Right.
And that's what we miss. That's how we miss finding out who we are and falling in love with who we are, because we don't work on our character. We work on our reputation. On what people are pumping you up to be. I'm Bishop so-and-so. Oh, I'm this
well-known
musician. Got a big ego.
And I know that probably is not the ego we talking about, but that's what I'm saying. A homegirl of mine, she actually answered this. We discussed this before the show, probably like a week ago. She said, first figure out your approach. How do you talk about hard things? She said, first figure out your approach. She's the one that said, figure out whether or not you want to be felt or whether or not you want to be heard. She said, because I have to be honest. Sometimes I just need to be felt. I need him to feel how he made me feel. I need him to understand how mad I am, you know, but we both came to the understanding that trying to be felt does not help the relationship or the marriage. Then she said, number two, decide whether you will honor yourself by being honest with that person anyway, even though it's a hard topic, whether or not you're going to honor your marriage by saying something to your spouse or your who you in a relationship with that could possibly help you guys grow closer and bond, even if it's hard for them to hear? Or are you going to keep it to yourself? If you keep it to yourself, that does not do anything to help the marriage, the relationship. All it does is festers inside of you. And anytime anything settles inside of you, it becomes stagnant. And that's not what you want.
Listen, y'all, we thank y'all.
We have one more.
Hey, we don't have time.
I mean, we don't have time for it, but we only got one more left.
Okay, babe. Follow the leader. Follow the leader. Come on. We'll deal with that this week.
Oh, good. It's the same question as before about the opposite sex. So we good.
I was
following you.
You wasn't used to it. See? No, I'm just.
Gotcha.
But anyway, listen, y'all. We thank y'all. Man, this was an awesome show. Listen, y'all, next week, we're really praying about this, because next week's guest is actually behind bars.
Yes.
He's behind bars.
Right now.
Right now. And he's behind bars doing.
What is it? Three life.
Triple life.
Three life sentences.
Three life sentences for.
Plus an extra 20 years.
For homicide in Atlanta, Georgia.
Homicide? That's murder.
Yeah, that's murder. A triple homicide.
That's how much I know.
A triple homicide. And but we talked to this young man. Lord allowed us to get in touch with him, and we talked to him, and just to kind of hear his,
it was so encouraging,
just to hear where God has taken him now,
right,
where he is, and his
where he
talk
is right
and his
now.
Walk with his with God,
right?
So we're really praying about this, because we, you know, I don't want to really offend nobody, but we're really praying. So we're hoping that this could be our guest for next week.
Yes.
So y'all keep us in y'all prayers, man. We thank y'all for tuning in. Listen, y'all, we just want to continue to give a shout out to these boys here, these men
yes.
here at Sacred
yes.
Stone Studios.
Sacred Stone
here in the
Studios.
Houston, Texas area, y'all. Listen, y'all. And if y'all want to be a blessing to the ministry, man, I mean, it only helps us to keep doing this thing, man. You know, help keep the lights on here and
yes.
stuff like that.
Yes.
So if you want to be a blessing to the ministry, the Cash App is Shift Movement. $Shift Movement. And like I said, you know, give God bless us, a cheerful giver. We ain't put no
just. And just I'm throwing it out here now. God has given me an assignment. And it is going to be something that's gonna help our youth and help build our youth for the next generation. I'm not gonna give too much information about it now. So if you decide that you wanna bless the ministry, it's not going to go to anything else but to help build our youth, build our community, helping people constantly to be blessed in their marriages and their relationships. So God is going to bless me with something. I'll keep you posted as we go.
And,
but
we got another love ball coming up
awesome.
Out here in Houston.
We
it's,
are?
It's gonna, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In Houston?
Yeah, we got to do another one here in Houston.
What?
So, yeah, we got to.
Well, we heard it here first. So listen.
But listen, y'all. Come on.
We love
Hold
you.
Hold this out, babe, real quick.
Don't forget, I'm going to say it one more time. If God has blessed you to be a blessing, bless us at $Shift Movement. $Shift Movement. We're going to take this thing out into the community. I'm going to go ahead and pray real quick so we can get this thing on. Holy Spirit, we love you. We praise you. We adore you. We just thank you for your Bible, your words that will be able to help us to live a better life, have better marriages. If we only read about it and allow you to give us revelation, knowledge and wisdom and understanding and just grow from your words, because who better knows how to do it than you? So Lord, help us to grow in you. Help us to learn more about you so that we can live better in this world. And maybe, Lord God, help someone else. Have your way. Bless all families that are here. Bless the families that are about to watch later. Lord God, we just thank you for everything that you're doing with Shift Real Talk TV, Shift Movement, Lord God, because it's not just a show. It's a whole movement. We desire, Lord God, to be different yet impactful. So have your way. Allow that to be our mission. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Until next Tuesday, always.
I'm
we love you.
I'm your
I'm
boy.
I'm your girl, Lady Free.
I'm your boy, Pastor Jay.
And we out.
Peace.
For watching.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.